All right, we're gonna start now. It's, we're on the fine hay on Aleph, 175A. So we had, just to review, we had a Mishnah that said three remachlokas. One is you go after, if you have three different minim, you go after the first one, which in a sense makes a lot of sense because once the first one reaches beer, it's giving out tom to the other ones. The other ones have absorbed tom of shias that needs beer. Who was that, Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yeshua said, no, you go after the last one. And the Gemara is going to ask, what about the first one? The Gemara is going to ask the question in just a second. And then Rabbi Gamliel said, you pick out whichever one on an individual basis, whichever one has reached its beer, you pull that one out of the barrel and revire it. We're going to talk about him as well. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, my time
is four.
What?
It's Rabbi Shimon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rav Shimon holds that there's only one Zman beer for all vegetables, and therefore you don't have to do the beer until the last vegetable in the world, in the area that you're in, has finished. That's true. You are correct. I tell you, Rabbi Elazar. So what's the reason for Rabbi Elazar? Nice and tam v'achron. That's what we just said. And he's putting tom from the first one to the others, and therefore you have to revire those. My tom de Yeshua, ha'achronos and tom barishin. So here he's reversing. He's doing reverse svara. There's tom of a min that does not require beer inside the min that has reached beer. So the fact that it has the tom that doesn't require beer is enough to validate it that you can go ahead and eat it. Okay? B'kasha Rabbi Yeshua ein harishon noisin tam b'achron. Well, what's he going to do with the svar of Rabbi Elazar, right? So the Gemara doesn't really answer the question. So it says over here like this. Number five. Second paragraph. The Gemara does not respond to this question, but there are Rishonim who basically try to answer the question. They say like this, either it's a Drabbanon, and since nowadays the whole din of Shvius is Drabbanon, so therefore they Heimorma, whatever. Then, I like the last one the best, and that is that if you had something already was chayav in beer, and then the vegetable absorbed that tom. So then that's a good taina. You absorb tom which required beer, so therefore you should revire it also. But if you absorb the tom before the zman beer came, so now in the vegetable there's tom of another vegetable, but that tom at the time of the blia was not chayiv and beer. In that case, the tom itself is not going to be mechayiv to do mivirat. That's the svar that they want to say. So that's a very fundamental chiluk, right? In other words, what I think the lumdus is the pshat is that the chayiv beer is chal on the vegetable as a whole. It's not chal on tom. Just if you just have tom of a vegetable sitting in another vegetable, you don't say, oh, that tom came from another vegetable, and therefore it becomes chayv and beer, and therefore you have to mevire that vegetable. That's not the way it works. It's not a question of tom kicker. Tom kicker is where you have a davar usser, and it gives off tom to something else. So then tom kicker, the tom of the isser, it was absorbed in the heter, and you say tom kicker and the davar heter becomes usser. Here, the tom, when it got when it was belayah, it was not usher. It was 100% mutter. That's the difference. Take it or leave it. I like it. Okay. Next. Rabbi Gamliel Eimer. And since no one's here, I'm going to shut this off.
Make them late.
They'll have to beg me. to re-log in.
Beg.
Beg you.
Rabbi Gamliel Aymer, kosher kolam mina v'asada, yivar mina mina chavis. Tani, halacha kedvarav, that we pass along Rabbi Gamliel. Number six, it says that the Gemara does not address the reasoning behind Rabbi Gamliel's view. However, Rishonim explained that absorbed flavor cannot engender an obligation of beer. To the contrary, because flavor lacks substance, it's considered like mevuar already.
Like what?
It's mevuar. It's a kfar mevuar. You can't be mechayev me to do beer on something that's already mevuar. It is in a state of you can't point to it. So therefore, I say you can't point to it. It doesn't exist.
Is he saying?
That's what it says over here.
Is he saying it's not Tom Kaker?
You're getting into these old call them in Yoredea.
Okay, you know.
This is you're getting into Klolim in Yoredea. You have to think out of the box a little bit because this is not regular Issa. This is a chi of beer. The chi of a beer could be is only chal on something which is ban.
Okay.
That's basically. But here he's saying even more than that. Because flavor lacks substance, it's regarded as having already been removed from the world, i.e. as having already undergone beer. Flavor does not require beer. The exchange of flavor between the vegetables and the barrel results neither in longer-lasting species becoming subject to early beer, nor in the delay of beer for the species that it disappeared first. It has no impact at all. That's basically Rabbi Gamliel's svara.
I don't understand that.
No?
Why is it considered that it had beer already if it's swallowed into the to the other vegetable.
He said because Tom is the lamb caker.
He keeps saying that. He said what he said. I didn't say that. That's what you said. Because Tom is not. It's nothing you can point to. You can't point to it.
Wait. So
therefore, it's like it's mavur already.
So one went into two. I don't know, whatever.
Right, one went into two.
One needs beer already.
One needs beer, but I don't know if it's going to make that big a difference.
So you have to take it out of the jar.
Well, let's
so
just
now, so now one eat. Is in two. So two has one and two.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that considered that it's mavur?
Because the one is one. What is one? One is a vegetable. A taste of a vegetable.
Right.
That's not considered, his svara is, that's not considered extent.
So it's just the goof.
The goof ha-peri.
Not the neshama.
Not the neshama. Correct. Uh-huh. Something like that.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
That's what he says.
Yeah. So you have to take it out of the jar.
Yes.
You take the vegetable number one when the time comes.
And you take it.
And you get rid of it. But and the fact that vegetable number two tastes like number one makes no difference.
That's fine.
That's what he says. Okay.
Nobody goes into Shimon's
Tom,
right?
He goes at the end of the paragraph. He mentions an alternative. Where it makes a difference whether it had reached the Zman beer or not. Alternatively, absorbed Shvi'ah's flavor requires beer only if its source had already become subject to beer before imparting the flavor to the other items. Rabbi Gamliel, however, deals with a case where the beer time for this flavor did not arrive until after the flavor was absorbed. So if that there is that alternative. Again, that svar is coming up a couple times already. Okay. Now we're going to say a very interesting thing.
Reb
Shimon, we haven't gotten to him yet. Hold on.
Okay.
Chizkia Omar. So now, what Chizkia means is a subject of debate in the Mefarshim. So let's first learn the way the English seems to lay it out here, which is, frankly, it seems a little difficult. He says, Mekivan Shehisla Ba'aitzer. Once you begin removing the stored produce, okay, let's take the case. You have a storage room with 100 barrels of wine. Now the time for beer for wine has arrived. So what are you going to do? You're going to take out one of your barrels, put it on the front porch. So what he's saying is Kimmich Hiskel, even though you didn't take out all the 100 barrels in your storage area, once you started, Maspik, you started, that's what he says. Kimmich Hiskel Bo'itzer, Kimavorhu, it's as if it all had been removed. It's a mud nazach. What do you mean? Why would that be the case?
He can now say I'm a cop. I'm
calling. Yeah, yeah. I mean, vachetzach.
Sounds like a joke.
It's going back. That's the original. I mean, that's a general rule for beer that you can go ahead and reacquire it after you make it hefker.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, you're not even taking all the stuff. 99% of the stuff is still in your storage area. I found this to be very difficult.
Because it's the Rabbanon, and they're just...
It's the Rabbanon.
No, they're just doing the minimum.
Reb Chaim Kanievsky says the following. Just want to tell you.
He says the following.
He says... Here. Where is it? Mikivan shehiskel bo'aitzer kemavor. Mikivan shehiskel lehistapek min ha'aitzer. Not talking about the beer. We're talking about you started to take...
Remove. No, listapek.
Listapek means that you're starting to eat from it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're starting to eat. You started on week one. Week one, it was before the beer arrived, and you're allowed to eat from the oitzer. You started to take from the oitzer.
Okay.
To eat and drink from the oitzer.
Okay.
Kimen shehiskil listapek min oitzer. So Paris, kaidim shigiz man habir, ain't sar chlavair, ukimavor hu kvar, shakvar ain't derech lahashoisai, uki ilu gomrei. In other words, basically what he's saying is that the it's not going to be around very much longer because once you started, you know, taking some of the food from the storage area, you're going to quickly finish it. It's not like there's a year's supply of food in there. Let's say it's a week's supply of it. I'm not exactly sure who tells him this.
It's not going to work with the 100 barrels.
I don't understand it. But all I'm saying is, you see the two pshatim over here. One is that as soon as he starts to do the mice of beer, that's enough, even though he didn't take the whole thing out, which I don't know what the story behind that is either. Or the pshat Rafaim is saying is, we're not talking about the Zman HaBir has been reached already, but we're talking about the idea that once he starts to eat from it, it's as if it is already Mavur, because you're going to finish it up that's his problem. Okay, very good. So let's go a little further. Also, Ovda Kumi Rabbi Yasa. So there was a story where somebody reacquired Shriya's produce after moving only a portion of it from the house.
Like
Chizkiya. And Rabbi Yasa ruled according to Chizkiya. He said, so basically he's saying, yeah, we're passing like a Chizkiya, Amar. So Rabbi Yasa explained, Lo da no sovikava, saying, not because I hold like a Chizkiya, because it's pretty shver svara. Elo min ma da anan cham yon rabbanon avdin uvda kavasei. Because I see other rabbis, Kamiyu and Rabbanan, I see other rabbis doing like him. And so I see his opinion was accepted. It seems to be, you know, like that's what we said. Go out and look what people are doing. And apparently this was accepted. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Radifa, Havalei Ovda. So he also had a story like this. He was asked how one might retain ownership while still fulfilling the beer requirement. People were afraid to lose all their stuff. They weren't an eitz tayva from the rabbi how we could still hold on to our stuff. Also, Shaul Reb Yirmiyah. So they asked Reb Yirmiyah. Of course, Reb Yirmiyah has the imagination, the wildest imagination. So they figure if anybody has an eitz, he's like, you know. And so what does he say? Reb Yirmiyah says, classic. Amalei, so Reb Yirmiyah says, Ayyavasa kamach, there are lions in front of you, great sages. Vachol the ta'alai, and you're asking the question to the foxes? He's talking about himself as a fox, derech anava, you know, he's saying, what are you asking me for? There's so much greater tamini chachamim. Okay, so let's move on, ask the next person. Let's find a bal gaiva to answer our question, right? Also, shalom Rabbi Yeshua. So they asked Rabbi Yeshua. So, Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua said, look for three people who are your friends, after a kamehim, and make it hefker in front of them. Because, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of that you're going to make it hefker and people are going to grab it. This is a simple etza. You'll make it hefker. And then they know you, and they're not going to grab your stuff because they're your friends. That's my etza for you. All right? That's the that's his greatza etza. Greatza chokhmah.
Okay. But that's
the same
as doing it in public, right?
Yeah, three people is normally, hefker usually is in front of three people, usually, yeah.
Isn't there a requirement to remove it from the house?
Well, he's doing it. One? He's removing it from the house.
Even one.
What?
Even one. Like, to remove it from the house. He's not, he's just declaring it.
I don't see where he's saying, declare the Shri'as onus before them. I think a pshat is he's doing it, right?
Just to say he has to take it out of the house. It's not written there.
It doesn't say it, but I think it's assumed for the time being. You know what? What we're seeing from this Gemara so far is that perhaps you don't have to, according to the pshat that we said before. You know, once you started, it's good enough. So it sounds like it doesn't have to all be out there. Let's keep going. Let's go a little further. Kapud koi, the tziporin, the Kabakodians of tziporin.
Oh yeah.
Shalom Rabbi Umi. They asked Rabbi Umi the following question. Begin the lesli Elaine Amar Rachaim, because we are strangers in the land. And we don't have friends. And Lo Shal Shalom. No one's asking about our well being. Okay? What should we do? Because if we're gonna declare it hefker, the people don't care about us. They'll just grab what we make it hefker. He said to them, when you see that the street is clear, there's nobody on the street, right? 3 o'clock in the morning, to heaven, mafkin leilu shuko mavakrele, take it out to the street and make it hefker. See here again, you see clearly, you have to take it out. Take it out to the street and make it hefker.
This is where there's not three people. This is where...
So it could be there's a difference, right? The Chazrin v'Zachin Bay, let's take a look in the footnote. The Chazrin v'Zachin Bay, and then go ahead and reacquire it. So now over here.
So the cross says, they're doing the Maisa, then you don't need three. But if you don't do the Maisa, it sounds like you do the three.
Right.
It's either or.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it sounds like.
Which Grah did you see that in?
It's in the Hebrew footnote.
It's in three at the beginning.
The mere act of abandoning the produce for a short time in a public place renders an hefker, even without a formal declaration of ownerlessness in the presence of three. Mm-hmm. See, the problem is, according to the way the Rambam learns beer, and that's what the big footnote is talking about here, the rest of three. We said it many times already, I'll just say it again. The Rambam holds that beer means your mamash have to destroy it. The Ramban learns that you have to be mafker it. So all these Gemaras sound like the Ramban. None of them sound like the Rambam, right?
Right.
How's the Rambam going to learn these Gemaras?
We're not the first to ask.
We're not the first to ask that question, but in the footnote he brings it down over here. But after the word however, those who espouse the opposing view maintain that when Chizkiah speaks of removing the stored produce, he refers to the distribution of Shvi'as produce that would regularly occur before the actual beer deadline. Remember, that's what we said, that when beer would either begin, or you saw it was about to begin, you would hand out three sudas to everybody, right? To give them a chance, you know, to all your friends and poor people, right? So that's what's going on over here. As Chizkiah rules, once a container of pickled shvi'as is open for distribution, even if it's unfinished, means you hadn't finished distributing all the things in the barrel, good enough. That's already, like, it's mavur already. You started to destroy it, good enough. All right, so you have to, these are all chukim. You're going to have to somehow figure out Pshat and the Gemara. Very much.
He said the Rambam answers that these are all poor people. That's why
it's poor people, right? You're going to have to, is that sign on Unkimta? Correct. Rav Chaigai Maflagleit Sluchion. When beer came, he would distribute flagons upon flagons. Is that how you pronounce it?
Flagons?
Yeah.
Flagons?
Sure, flagons. What's a flagon?
What's a flagon? It's a flagon. I know it's a flagon.
It's a slagon.
It's a wagon that they misspelled.
I think it's flasks. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're flagons of wine. These are flasks of wine. He would distribute them.
A couple hundred years ago, when
he would
drank
also do
whiskey
that.
Or beer, they drank it out of flagons.
That's right. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
I've heard of it years ago.
It says over here that the Mishnah below on 77a is going to say that upon the arrival of beer, you can hand out the stuff to your friends even after the beer deadline has arrived, and therefore, you could that's a form of the beer, I guess. It's just kind of like I would say it's accelerating the rate at which you're consuming it, right? The Gemara has another incident here. Reb Chizkiya Salak Gabi Reb Yirmiyah. So he went to visit Reb Yirmiyah, and the way he has it over here, he has Reb Chizkiya is going to Reb Yirmiyah, who had stored Shvi'ah's produce in Reb Chizkiya's house. Okay, you got it? So Reb Yirmiyah owns the produce. He stored it in Reb Chizkiya's house. And Reb Chizkiya is concerned. The beer is coming, right? Amalei, so Reb Chizkiya said to Reb Yirmiyah, so chisi b'hen oitzara. He says, now that, beer came, and it's hefker, so I was zochen it, because it's in my property, so my king and kotzer, right?
Yeah.
So Reb Yirmiyah wants to prevent Reb Chizkiya from getting his produce. So what does he say back? Amalei. So he says back, Sorli Elaine Pritaya Gabach. Bind up these coins and keep them with you to guard them. In other words, what's happening is he's kind of like paying him to watch his tour. It's not a favor. I'm actually hiring you.
It's not his anymore.
So Reb Chizkiya, okay, so 1 second, we're gonna get to the question in a second. Reb Chizkiya accepts the coins. Amalei, so Reb Yirmiyah says to him, Hare Mokam and Moskali, the place of the produce is leased to me in exchange for these coins. And now I get my produce back. Right, so now the question you're asking is a very simple one. How did it go from Reb Chizkiya to Reb Yirmiyah to Reb Chizkiya and then back to Reb Yirmiyah? What's going on over here? That's the problem. So the answer seems to be, let's take a look at 6 of the brackets. From Reb Yirmiyah's arguments, clear that Reb Chizkiya had not yet really taken possession of the produce. Otherwise, leasing the courtyard would not have done anything. You can't forcibly acquire someone else's stuff. Must be he had merely threatened to acquire the produce. Whereupon Reb Yirmiyah acted to forestall him by leasing the property. So That must have been what happened over here. So they're going. There's obviously something missing here. This pshat, it doesn't ring well. The whole Chak Vataya, there's a completely different explanation in the variance over here. Maybe we'll say it in just a second. So he says, just finished the Gemara. Reb Chizkiya rejects his argument. Amalei, so he says to Reb Yirmiyah, Lochein afaktach chazar v'zochisabe. You did not actually declare the produce ownerless that you can now reacquire it. In other words, he's saying like this. Reb Chizkiya is pointing out, although others are permitted to help themselves to privately own Shvi'ah's produce from the time of the beer, the owner himself, meaning Reb Yirmiyah, is not permitted to do so until you go ahead and formally relinquish your ownership right. Once you have to make a declaration that it is hefker. Once you make a declaration that it's hefker, then you can be chayzav a zaychavay. Masha'inkin, the other people, They don't have to wait for the declaration. This Mon beer came. It's assumed to be Hefker. Something like that. It's all very difficult. The whole shock of a tire, very, very difficult. So let's take a look at the variant. Do we have time for it? Yeah? A couple of minutes. We explain the Gemara Marufold, who interprets the exchange as an attempt by the former to gain control of the latter. Gra explains the exchange in a completely different matter. What's going on? They're not trying to, Reb Chizki is not trying to gain possession of Reb Yirmiyah's stuff. In fact, the produce was not located on Reb Chizki's property at all. Rather, Reb Yirmiyah was concerned about the disposition of his Shvi'ah's produce after beer. Reb Yirmiyah assumed that he himself could not reacquire the produce after beer. He therefore wished to ensure that it would fall into Reb Chizki's hands. In other words, Reb Yirmiyah wants his produce to end up in Reb Chizki's hands because it's his friend, right? He figures, I can't get it, right? To this end, he hands Reb Chizki'ah money. So his instructions were that he should return that money as rent for the location where Reb Yirmiyah's produce was stored. So Reb Chizki'ah would therefore acquire Reb Yirmiyah's produce through his kinyan chatzar. He's giving him the money to give back to him as a fee for rental of the area. So that when Reb Yirmiyah would declare the produce hefker, it would immediately become the property of Reb Chizki'ah. Reb Chizki'ah said, Lachin, not so, there's no need. Av karton, make it hefker, and then you can reacquire it. So he told him, you could in fact reacquire it yourself. You're making a mistake. You don't have to give it away. You could own it. There's no need to arrange for its acquisition. Okay, so that's the final shot over here. Kol Tov.
Everybody should remember the fast tomorrow.
Yes. Everyone should have a fast.
I don't understand. He says here.
What time was it?